Hey everybody, welcome to the Water Tower Podcast. This is Jay Yoder with my co-host Nick Milan. And today we got a special guest from Porterville, California on the line, on the video chat. We got Joe Soto, and I think it's Joe One Bad Mofo Soto. Please subscribe below, watertowerpodcast.com. Follow us on Instagram, and thanks for watching and subscribing. I appreciate the following that's gathering. But anyways, let's get into it. Joe, thanks for having us, or thanks for coming on and us having you. But been following your career for a while now, and it's been awesome, man, to see a Central Valley guy take it to the UFC, win the Bellator tournament, and then go to the UFC doing EBIs on the Eddie Bravo Invitational. And how's it going, man? How's your day?
It's good. It's going good. Just living. I'm working now, so today I got a regular job now, so today's my day off, and I go in tomorrow, and yeah, so just been working and being a family man. I'm really haven't been doing too much training because of this whole virus thing.
Because you have your own gym in Porterville, correct?
I did, but as soon as I stopped fighting was like 2 years ago. I kind of let my friend take over, and I kind of take a break from it all, you know, coaching and everything. And I would go in and train once in a while, but I haven't really trained in a while either, actually. But yeah, I had a gym for, you know, as long as I think I moved back to Porterville I was training in Santa Rosa up north for a while when I first started going pro full time. I think I moved back to Porterville in 2012 or 13, and that's when I kind of started my own gym here. Okay. And, but yeah, one of my buddies took it over for me.
Okay, and your cousin Javier, is he training out of there still, or is he kind of bouncing around?
Yeah, no, he's been training out of there, but I'm not sure if he's going to fight or not anymore. He got a new job. He's a sheriff now, like the sheriff's deputy in the jails. So right now he's just kind of doing that, and I'm not sure where he's going with this fighting. As of this year, he's kind of, I think his last fight was in January or February. I think he's taking a break since then. I'm not sure what he's gonna continue on with fighting, or he's just gonna do the sheriff's thing now too.
Okay, nice.
Well, it sounds like he's gonna go from fighting in an octagon to fighting in a cell.
Hopefully not, but yeah, I think that's what. That's what he's doing so far. So I don't think he's been training much either this year. Guy's got huge. He's like. Gained a lot of weight. He's bigger now. He's like 320 now.
Oh no, that Central Valley taco truck or what?
Yeah, that guy eats. Eats taco trucks. Like the whole thing.
What do you usually weigh in at when he fought in Bellator?
I think he always made around 265. I don't think he always, you know what I mean? He made the weight, so he came in at 265. I think a couple times he was like a couple pounds under, but He was right at that mark, 265 mark. But I think he walked around usually at over 300 usually, though. But he would cut all the way down.
Yeah, I always like those guys, kind of like the Fedor style. You know, that you look at them and they go, "All right, this guy."
They look real soft. And they look real soft, and then. But they could put it down for sure. Some of those guys.
Yeah, they look soft until you look soft on the ground, right?
Yeah. Well, we might as well get it over with. So I don't know much about MMA and mixed martial arts, but I love it. I love watching it. I'm a big fan. But Jay's been involved for a long time, and so
on a small level, just like a gym whore and nothing serious. I had like a little MMA match last year through a Wimp to Warrior program. I would even consider it a real like amateur fight, although it was considered one, but some tournament years ago, but just do it more as a hobby than serious. But we had a guy named Juan Nunez on a couple weeks ago that trained with the Scrap Pack with Nick and Nate and Gilbert Melendez at El Nino. And I've been a big fan of MMA, following it. And I gotta ask, you know, you were born and raised in Porterville, correct?
Yeah.
And I remember hearing your name even in high school. You know, we graduated 03, but I remember I worked at a Olive Tree restaurant in Lindsay, and they'd always talk about Joe Soto. The chefs back there would always talk about Joe Soto and look you up as like one of the top wrestlers at the time.
Yeah. I was I had some pretty good success in high school. So yeah, I was kind of getting my name out there. You know, I was always in the papers and stuff, I think, because I placed twice in the state. You know, I ended up winning state my senior year. And I took seventh in the country my senior year. So, you know, I made a name for myself in wrestling. Football, too. I was pretty decent at football. But, yeah, more so, I mean, in wrestling, my name kind of went out there. And then once I started fighting, then it just, you know, got bigger from there.
Did you think about fighting when you were wrestling, like make a mixed martial arts career? Was that in your mind?
Yeah, when I was like, I don't know how old I was, but I was young, maybe before junior high. I don't know how old I was, but I was young. My uncle used to watch the first UFC. They had them on the box, on those illegal black boxes.
The black box.
Yeah, yeah. So we used to catch them. And I think I don't know if I saw the rerun or like if I seen the first UFC ever with Hoist, but I remember seeing Hoist, and I remember even watching VHS tapes on the UFC. So I always, you know, was intrigued with fighting. Well, I got into like karate too when I was like, I think I might have seen Hoist's fight, and then I can't remember the fight, but I think I seen one of Hoist's fight, or I seen a couple of his fights, and then I wanted to do jiu-jitsu. I was around 10 years old. And there's no jiu-jitsu around here. I think I asked my mom, but she looked it up and she found me this like Shotokan place. So I ended up doing karate for like a while. And then I quit that. I did it for like maybe half a year. And then I quit that just to start playing football when I turned 10. Okay. But yeah, so I was kind of intrigued with martial arts. I'd watch Bruce Lee movies and go outside and practice punches and wanted to be a ninja. Actually, as a kid in Halloween, for Halloween, I think I dressed up as a ninja a couple of times. So I was always intrigued with like fighting Van Damme movies, you know, martial art movies. So, yeah. And then wrestling kind of got my foot in the door.
Yeah, I did all that same shit and I can't fight with shit. What the hell?
Yeah. All the beer, Nick. All the beer.
I just followed through with it. That was it. We were probably in the same boat, but I just stuck to my ninja dreams. I wanted to be a ninja, and then kind of did that.
And Nick, you gave up on your dreams, man.
You gave up on your dreams, bro.
Quit too soon. Yeah.
Could be in Japan right now. But it's a yeah. So what kind of, you know, it was crazy. Like growing up, there was no jiu-jitsu gyms in the Central Valley, and compared to like San Francisco or LA, like especially Torrance, California, where it blew up quick, and we're basically, I think, started in California. I'm not sure with the Gracies, but it's insane to like see these challenges that people from Porterville or Lindsay or Hanford or fill in the blank, these small little communities. Now it's changed. There's all these gyms everywhere. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I wish it was around like this when I was a kid. You know, I think I would have been a beast, you know, like times 10, whatever I am now. I mean, yeah, I wish I had those opportunities, you know, when I was younger. I mean, who knows where, you know, what would have been different, or, you know, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, those opportunities are cool, you know. Like, I wish when I was young, there was a UFC fighter in my hometown, you know, like something like that. But
you're the guy.
It worked out.
Yeah, do you feel like...
Yeah, I'm the guy.
You're that guy, man. Do you, like, have, like, kids coming up to you ever, or is it pretty quiet? What do you think?
No, yeah, sometimes, you know, I still get people coming up to me at the grocery stores, or, like, I'll be pumping gas, and... But I'll forget, like, sometimes, like, somebody would be looking at me, I'll be like, what the hell is this guy looking at? What the fuck? Like, look at this dude, and then he'll be like, hey, you Joe Soto? And I'll be like, yeah, why? And then he'll be like, oh, I'm a big fan. And I'm like, oh, I forgot. Like, you know what I mean? I forgot I used to fight. Or like, you know what I mean? Like, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I just don't think – I think about it like, why is this guy looking at me? Like, one time I was in line. I think I was like Chipotle or something. And I think we just got done training, maybe. Me and my friend, and we're in line. And I'm like, dude, this dude keeps looking at me. Like, in my head, I'm thinking, like, why does this fucker keep looking at me? Like, I don't know who it was. And then my friend looks at me. He's like, hey. Like, this guy keeps staring at your ears. I'm like, oh, I forget I have, like, messed up ears, too. So, like, just stuff like that, you forget. Like, you just, yeah. So that's how I am about it, yeah.
Did you ever have anyone like, you know, Joe Soto, Porterville, California, to a lot of accolades, but fighting in the UFC for a title against TJ Dillashaw, here in Sacramento, actually. UFC 177, I believe. But... Do you have anyone that knows this about you and then, like, maybe test you at a bar or a party? Has that ever happened?
Nah, I've never been, nah. Awesome. No one's ever tried anything. But I don't really put myself in those situations. Like, I can't even remember the last time I went to a bar, really. I mean, shit. Maybe I think after one of my fights in in the UFC. I think I went to the MGM once, like to like a club or something, but I don't really go out to bars and stuff. You know, I try to stay away from like bad situations.
Well, that's probably why your career is so successful.
Yeah.
Me and Nick are still here.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Like, I don't really, that's yeah, but I've never really been into all that. So yeah, I don't, yeah, I'm kind of a homebody, man. I kind of just stay home.
Your family
and don't really do much. And yeah, staying with my family. I kind of just, you know, that's kind of what I love is just being home with the family. And, or if I do go out on a trip or something, it's with my family. So, yeah. So, yeah, I have nobody. Nobody's ever tested me. I've never been in a fight since I started training, fighting. Like I started training, like, jiu-jitsu in 2005, and I've never been in a fight since then.
That's awesome. That's what it's about, right?
Man. Yeah, gym, yeah. I've never been in a street fight. Came close a few times, but I never.
So, do you know? Do any big names from Lindsay come to mind when you think of wrestling or fighting or anything like that?
From Lindsay? No. I don't think so. What the guy I got started with though, like doing jiu-jitsu in Porterville, who I got introduced to, he's living in Porterville. He's from Strathmore. It's okay. Even smaller than Lindsay.
Right.
But yeah, that's the, I don't really know anybody else from Lindsay that I could think of.
Who's the Strathmore
guy? But Paul Estrada, I don't know if you guys know him. He does jiu-jitsu.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, he's had like 5 pro fights. But yeah, I kind of started in his garage, and he's always usually been in my corner on my fights. But yeah. Do you guys know any Lindsay fighters or anything?
Like probably like local shows. I'd be like, hey, I went to high school with that guy, you know, like to Hatchet Palace and stuff like that.
More so wrestling. I know that we had some classmates that were big wrestlers and, you know, they.
Yeah, I don't think anyone went state or anything, but like Doug Marshall was always the name going around and yours as well. But like, it was funny, I moved to the Netherlands for a little while and I just went to a random gym and Team Furious in Rotterdam, I think. But they had a picture of Doug Marshall on the wall. I was like, what the fuck? And they're like, oh yeah, we go down to Huntington Beach sometimes and train with them. So I got a picture. I was like, small world.
That's crazy. Doug's from Visalia though, right?
Yeah, Doug's, I believe, I don't know if he's originally from there, but he was always around. I used to work at Crawdaddy's as security, and he would always, you know, roll up with his crew.
Yeah.
Super chill, but I don't know. Have you ever trained with him?
I've seen him around. I went to Elite, you know, he trains over there at Elite, and I used to go roll jiu-jitsu there with some of the guys, and, you know, he'd be around, so I know him. And I think I don't know if we fought on the same card, but he's always around at local shows, so, you know, he's always a name. He was a big name around the Central Valley. I mean, you know, he did his thing for sure. He fought Bellator.
WC, I think he was heavyweight.
WC, he was a WC champion. I think he won the Bellator tournament. I don't think he won the bout. I think he went to compete for it, but I think he ended up losing. But yeah, so he's done his thing. He made his name for himself in the Valley for sure too.
Yeah. And Elite, I think he still trains there. I don't know if you're familiar with Elite, but Elite's a gym I wish was around growing up. I used to drive out to Hanford and take like Krav Maga or whatever they talked me into back in the day. I'd be like, I want jiu-jitsu, but no, you should try Krav Maga. I got a new promotion. Okay, what's that? You know, and then next thing I'm now like, what the fuck do I have a...
What's that? That's like a Israeli fighting thing, right?
Yeah, they give you like a rubber knife and gun. I'm like, man, I want to do MMA shit. What the fuck is this? Their marketing guy got me, but...
You got to take what you can get, I guess, at the time, you know? Yeah.
Hey, if anyone ever comes at me with a rubber gun, I'm ready, bro. Hey, Joe, like, so how'd you, so it sounds like you started doing jiu-jitsu in Strathmore in a garage, or from, I don't know if it was in Strathmore or Porterville.
In Porterville, the guy's from, yeah, he lived in Estrada. Porterville, but yeah, he's from Strathmore.
And is Paul Estrada correct?
Yeah.
And then you're a black belt in jiu-jitsu, is that correct?
Yeah.
You're very high level, I mean, to go to EBI, I assume. What was your jiu-jitsu career like? When did it start? How'd it go?
Well, like how I first started training, like I said, I started training in 2005. Then I went to, so I started training in the summer. Then I ended up going to Iowa Central. I wrestled out there at a junior college in Iowa. You know, I was, John Jones was out there. Colby Covington was out there.
You were roommates with John Jones?
I was roommates with John Jones and Colby. So my freshman year, I was roommates with John Jones. And the next year, I was roommates with John and Colby. Colby came on. And, you know, yeah. So anyways, I would train during the summer when I came home and then, go out and wrestle. And every summer I'd come back and then until I just, you know, after my 2 years of school, I was like, I'm not going to go to 4-year you know, my grades were still shit. So I was like, let me start fighting. And I just wanted to fight already. You know, I was kind of, I just went to school to wrestle. I didn't want to, I wasn't really into education at the time, but so I just wanted, and then I started watching, like, so I would be, I'd be like over there in Iowa and I'd be getting all these Pride DVDs and I'd be like just diving into them, watching all these Pride fights. And I was like, fuck, like, I just wanted to do it. You know, I just wanted to stop going to school and just start fighting. Like, I just, and I was watching, I was like, I think I was watching like Eddie Bravo's Rubber Guard stuff on YouTube. I think I had to buy his book, Mastering the Rubber Guard. Like, and I was just like rolling with guys after practice or like in the room sometimes. Like, yeah, we started training them a little bit. So I just, you know, was getting the itch to fight, you know, cause I like in high school, I would go to the fights here too in Porterville up at the Res. And, you know, so kind of me and my friend would go watch and we'd be like, hey, we're going to do this one day when we turn 18. And then, so I always kind of had a desire to fight and, you know, I was kind of getting bigger at the time when I was in school too. I think The Ultimate Fighter came out. That's kind of how I kind of got into it though, but how I kind of got into jiu-jitsu, you know, like during the summers. And when I finally came home, I stopped going to school, dropped out after my sophomore year. And then, I told my parents I was going to start fighting. So I came back, started fighting and, I got hit up by a manager and they told me if I wanted to get into this Bellator tournament. And they go, but you have to move up north to Santa Rosa. Dave Terrell has a gym. And that's Cesar Gracie's first black belt. And I was like, all right, yeah, I'll move up there. And I moved up there, met with another manager, and they got me into the Bellator tournament. I started training with Dave. And that's who started like belting me, you know.
Well, that explains a lot because Dave Terrell is like the motherfucker to learn from, right? He's the guy in the UFC back in the day.
He fought for the UFC title back in the day too.
And when'd your leg lock game start going? Was that with Dave Terrell?
Even before, like the first, like with Paul, I don't know. Paul had an orthodox style and we had a really good, like purple belt that trained with us at the time. He's a black belt now. He trains at the Elite. He's one of the coaches there, but he was a purple belt at the time. So he was real fundamental, the purple belt. And then Paul was just unorthodox and he had a lot of leg locks. So kind of started with him in the garage right there. And then once I went to Dave's, you know, he upped it a level, my leg lock game, because he was one of the first schools. I think he was like the first Nogi school, or like, you know, one of the first. I think it was the first Nogi school in California. And then he was always known for leg locks. So, yeah, that's kind of how my leg lock game.
Because it's crazy for like Nick and people watching that don't know jiu-jitsu so much, and you, obviously you're more of an expert than I am, but it's basically been like gi schools in jiu-jitsu throughout the years, and then you couldn't learn leg locks unless you were like a certain belt, and then all of a sudden, like fast forward to you know, some people were doing them like Dave Terrell and Joe here, but then fast forward, like leg locks are the shit now. I'm like, if you don't know leg locks, you're fucked, which a lot of people, unfortunately, that were black belts and other purple belts and brown belts got wrecked by some fools that are just training leg locks. Cause it's like 50% of the game that was kind of ignored. And now gyms are like teaching it white belt. I've noticed like all of a sudden they're teaching it to everyone, which I think is great. And I get why they're scared. Cause if you fuck up the leg, it's over. But Donahue Dev Squad, that's their thing, you know. And you were already on that shit with Dave Terrell. So did you feel like you had an advantage there?
Yeah, I did for a long time, you know. But I never really competed pro jiu-jitsu a lot at all. Really, I did a couple times, you know, but later on. But yeah, I think if I would have started doing it back then, I think I would have had a huge advantage. Now everybody's caught up and like it's crazy now, the leg lock game, you know. Like there's stuff that I don't even know. Like it's crazy. There's just so much information out there now.
Do you still follow MMA and jiu-jitsu tournaments like EBI and stuff like that and Flow Grappling, or do you kind of do other things?
I see, like, I don't watch it, but I'll see posts, you know, on Instagram or like highlight clips or something. As far as jiu-jitsu, the UFC, I still watch it. Not like every show religiously, but, or I'll like watch a couple fights and then of a show, you know, like if I know somebody fighting, then, or if there's like a big fight, then I'll watch certain fighters. And then my daughter wants my phone and I'm like, yeah.
I always wonder if like people that's been in the game like yourself, that they get burnt out on it.
I did, you know, like I'm like right now I'm kind of getting the itch to try to like roar or fight again, you know. Like it's been 2 years since I fought, or like almost 2.5 years. So now I'm kind of getting the itch, but even when I was fighting, I wasn't really like, I wasn't watching it like as much, you know, because I was just so busy training. But I don't know. Yeah, you do get kind of burned out, I guess, when you put everything into something like 100 miles an hour, like your whole life was just, yeah, I mean, sometimes when you take a break, you need to breathe, you know, especially when you don't have that, like, that pressure on you anymore. You're like, okay, now I can just kind of live. Cause there's so much pressure on I put so much pressure on myself, you know, when I was fighting, everything was 100% fighting, you know. I never did anything else.
I don't know how you guys do it. I really don't. That little fight I had, I was so stressed out, and like I was, you know, I had a full-time job, like a 50-hour a week job, and, you know, wasn't doing what I was supposed to do there because I just had to fit a run in or whatever. But I didn't realize the stress and the brain fucking with yourself. That was like, how do these guys do this 10 plus years?
Yeah. I mean, some people are more crazy than others. So like, it probably don't bother some people, but for me, like, I don't know. Yeah, I'd be stressed out sometimes, you know? I mean, just always on the back of your mind, you're going to have to go fight this guy in a month. You're like, fuck. And then you have to worry about diet, too. It was just a lot.
Do you ever get do you get, like, grumpy and stuff? And
Yeah, I still get grumpy. Like, right now, I still get grumpy. Because I'm not dieting, but not strict, but I'm not eating everything I want. So sometimes I'll still get grumpy, you know? Like, I don't eat cereal. I don't eat sweets really anymore. Like, trying to lose some weight. So yeah. I cut certain things off, you know. I haven't drank soda in like over a year.
Nice.
I haven't eaten candy since like January.
Oh my God.
Yeah. The only thing I'll eat, like instead of candy, I've been eating like dry fruit. So my fire is the same shit, but nice. But I haven't eaten like a candy bar or any type of like Skittles or nothing like that. And I used to love candy. So I gave that up like on my on New Year's resolution. I actually kept to it.
Okay. Did you have like a restaurant or like some type of thing you bought after a tournament or a fight that was like your big celebration cheat meal, or was it always different?
Just everything. Like, I'd say everything. There wasn't one thing. Like, I'd be at Taco Bell, then like a couple hours later, I'd go to Jack in the Box or something. An order of pizza. We just go, it was so bad.
Just hate yourself.
Yeah, it was just so bad. Like, I didn't have one specific place I would go to. I would just hit up. I would eating like, we'd be like, so after my fights, me and my wife would just go on a rampage, just like all day long, you know, just we'd eat out for like months straight. And then I was like, all right, I got to calm down and then get back on this diet and get another fight. But,
so yeah. Would your wife travel with you on your fights?
Nah, it sucked because like once I got big and once I got into the UFC, I started having kids, and then like we didn't really have them. Like, I don't have sisters, and she doesn't really have like sisters like that. So like nobody could watch our kids, and I don't just trust my kids with anybody. So yeah, she would stay home with the kids a lot, so she didn't get to really travel with me all that much. But she went to a couple of shows, like Sacramento show. I think she went to a couple of my Vegas fights, but she didn't really get to go to like Brazil or Canada or, you know, anywhere like that, anywhere far. But
did you ever just trip out when you're like going to Brazil or somewhere, like, holy crap, this fight game took me here?
All the time. Like, yeah, I'm like, I don't know, I'm just one of those guys. I'd be tripping out, I'd be on a plane. Like, I remember a few times, even like my first fight going to Florida, when my first fight in Bellator, I was going to Florida, and I'm like, fuck, I'm like, that's crazy. They're going to pay me to go fight this guy from Canada, because I fought that guy from Canada. I was like, they're going to pay us to go fight in Florida. I was like, just tripping out. That's weird. You know, like, I get paid to go fight. Like, going to Brazil, too. Like, yeah, just, like, tripping out how lucky, you know, I was to be able to do that. And just tripping out in life. That's weird. You know? Coming from where I come from, like, nobody really gets to experience that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, people from my neighborhood, you know, had regular jobs, and, you know, we all grew up tough. So, yeah, I felt bad sometimes, too. Like, I felt bad that I got to experience some of these things where other people didn't get the opportunity to.
But a lot of people don't see when you're up late in the gym hitting the bag, or up early, or you, when you're by yourself just full of sweat and just hating life, or enjoying it, whatever. But you know, those are the things that get you there, right? And not everyone's next to you doing it.
Yeah, no, that's true too. I mean, I definitely put in the work. Yeah, not everybody sees it. Not even all your coaches. You have different coaches, so like sometimes you'll go work with this coach and they'll run you through a workout, and then you'll go train, you know, in a different town, like, you know, later on in the day. Like sometimes I would train here, then later on in the day I would go train in Visalia. So like not everybody's seen every workout you're doing. So like not the only person that knows everything you're doing is like God, you know what I mean? Like he's the only one that knows like how hard you are working. Yeah, it's crazy.
And what I hate when I'm sure you come across this when you're doing different gyms and not everyone sees everything, but like say you like one night just like feeling energetic, like I want to burn out my fucking legs and do a bunch of squats or arms or whatever. And then you go to one of these gyms the next day and like, all right, squat time. And you're just like, fuck. So sometimes I think it has a benefit to have a coach that sees all this. What do you think?
Nah, sometimes that's what's good about having like one coach that kind of sees everything, you know? And that's kind of what I did. Like, towards the end of my career, I went to Team Oyama downside in Irvine, and he kind of, you know, was my main coach.
Now, I know you just said that you kind of felt bad about going to these great places like Brazil, Florida, fighting a guy from Canada, and you felt kind of bad people next to you didn't get experience that, because we're from, not a lot of people travel. We get it, you know, and a lot of people don't experience a lot of things outside of that community. Did you have to make a decision to separate yourself from certain people, or not separate, but like limit the time you're hanging out with the homies or whoever to get these goals? Or do you always like just do your thing?
Nah, I was always pretty, you know, I had all my friends. I mean, basically every friend I've ever had, I've kept, you know, since I was young. So like the people I've been around my whole life. I mean, the only thing I did like that one time, like I said, I moved to Santa Rosa for like 3 or 4 years. So I was gone from everybody, you know, like even after high school. So I moved to Iowa for 2.5 years. I was out there. Then after that, I came back home for half a year. Then I moved to Santa Rosa for 3 or 4 years. And then I came back like in 2012, 2013. So I was gone from a lot of my friends for a long time. But once I came home, I allow myself to be around whoever I want, but obviously I was always busy training though, you know, like I'd see people when I could, but I was always busy training. I was always in the gym like 3 times a day, you know, or if I was, I'd be home trying to sleep, trying to rest up.
What's so I gotta ask, just what is the feeling? UFC 177, it was supposed to be Dillashaw versus Barao. Barao, I believe, due to the weight cut, busts his head on the bathtub or something like that. And then you're supposed to be on the undercard. And then I think less than 24 hours or something, you get a call, correct? And what's it
less
like?
Than an hour before the weigh-in.
Oh, that's right. Is that the weigh-in behind you, that picture?
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah, that's the weigh-in right there. Right, I was waiting. I just made 136, like, on my scale. And I was in my bathroom waiting, like dying. Like I was on a cold towel, butt naked, just like trying to get some coolness because I was like hot as hell. And then they called me, you know, it was like an hour before. Hey, come downstairs. And, you know, they talked to me and they asked me if I would do the fight. They explained everything to me, asked me if I would do the fight. And I said, yeah. And then they're like, can you make the weight? And I was like, oh shit, there's another pound I gotta lose. It's 135 even because it's a title fight. And I was like, I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can lose another pound. I'm like, no, you have to lose this other pound. You got to tell us right now. And I was like, yeah, I'll make it. So then they're like, all right, go cut the weight. So I ran to the 24-hour fitness real quick. They drove me there. I cut the pound like in 15 minutes.
Wow.
And then, they came back and went to the weigh-in. That experience was
crazy.
And TJ Dillashaw, that, you know, still today, like a bad motherfucker, you know, used to train out of here in Sacramento. Now I believe he's in Denver, but, you're walking through the tunnel, getting ready to go in that ring. You got the fans going crazy. What's that like? What's going through your head? Are you just focused, or is a bit of you kind of soaking in the moment?
I can barely remember now, you know, but I'm pretty, I mean, I don't, that whole experience was crazy, but I mean, I just felt like it was meant to be, and I felt like I was meant to be there. I felt like I was going to win that thing. I was just like, the way everything fell through, like, fell together, like, you know, I had trained with TJ too, that like 3 months before or something. Yeah, I trained with all Alpha Male guys. And, you know, I was just, yeah, I was tripping out. I was like, let me just enjoy this because this is crazy. You know, it's crazy because it's like playing a video game, right? Like the UFC 3 video game or UFC 2, whatever. But you're fucking doing it in real life. And you're like, I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, you see the little guy on the video game, he's coming out in the crowd and you put your ear in real life. But then, like, I'm really fucking doing this. Like, yeah, so it's that kind of feeling. Well, but then it's just so many emotions because you're confident, you're scared, you're doubting yourself. Like, everything's flying through your mind and you're trying to enjoy it and you're like tripping. And then, like I said, I'm thinking about, like, shit, this is like a real life video game. So, like, everything's just, it's like so much. So, like, it was actually applied too much where I didn't even get nervous because it was just like everything was just too many thoughts, you know? But yeah, it was. Now looking back on it, it doesn't even feel like it was real. It feels like an illusion, like it was a dream. But yeah, it happened.
Now a lot of people were like, you know, this is the big dream to get this title shot. And I'm sure a lot of people want to be prepared for it, have the proper training camp, do what they need. And you're just getting a call an hour before the weigh-ins. But you can't, that's a call you have to take. And a lot of people, I feel like, you know, obviously they were like, oh, TJ's going to murk this dude. Oh, but then you fucking put on this great fight. Obviously it didn't end probably the way you wanted, but you put on a fucking great fight. Are you, besides, you know, how it ended, are you pretty satisfied with your performance in that fight?
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was probably like the best I've ever fought. Like, as far as like the best me out there, you know, putting everything together, kind of showing up and, yeah, that was probably the best me out there. I still could have did better, and I still could have fought better. There's things I kind of held back on, but as far as like that was me pretty sure good. Like, I felt good, you know. I mean, so I'm pretty satisfied. Yeah, it sucks that happened at the end, you know, towards the end of the fight. But I did what I could do, you know, tried my hardest. I was prepared. Like, I just fought a five round title fight like 3 weeks before, you know.
Yeah.
And then I got, because I got signed short notice to fight short notice. Like, I think it was like 2 weeks or 3 weeks short notice fight, and then they changed it. Then they changed it again on me, you know, the day before. But I was in 5 round title shape already. You know, it's just, yeah, it'd been, I mean, worked out kind of good, I guess. If I would have had more time, who knows how? I mean, the fight could have been different. It could have been maybe not as great, you know. So it happened how it happened.
You know what? We just talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago with the Khabib and Tony Ferguson fight, right? I mean, Khabib backed out last minute. Ferguson had to go into a fight that he was not prepared for, and the outcome wasn't what he wanted.
Yeah, he had more preparation time though than Joe. He had a few.
Oh,
weeks.
But I don't know if you guys caught that. What I was saying is, like, going into that fight though, I was pretty prepared. I'm outside just to get your cars going, but I was pretty prepared. I mean, I trained. I had just came off a fight like 3 weeks prior. I had fought a 5 round title fight, and they signed me to the UFC short notice fight like 3 weeks, and then they changed it again for TJ. You know. But so I had just came off a 5 round fight, so I was in 5 round shape, so I was prepared in that sense, you know. But I felt prepared. I felt good. I mean, that was the best performance I've ever gave, so I was prepared.
So Joe, now you've had these accomplishments, you've traveled the world, and now you're sitting on a rocking chair, you know, at home with your family. How old are your kids, man? And what are some plans you guys have?
Yeah, I mean, my kids are, my boy is 4 years old and my daughter is 6. So, yeah, I mean, right now it's tough. I'm on the rocking chair right now. It's kind of, I got a break. I'm outside talking to you guys. My wife's in there dealing with them. My kids are a handful.
Yeah.
My boy got mad energy. Like, he'll wake up early in the morning and he's ready to go outside and do yard work. Like,
nice.
He was helping me pull weed. Like, yeah, that kid's a handful. My daughter's something else too.
Do they watch you? Do they watch videos of you? And do you see them going into fighting at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think my daughter kind of remembers it. She was like 3 or 4, you know, when I was fighting my son. But they've seen like videos and show them like little clips or stuff like that. I don't know. I mean, I don't really care if they get into it. I want my son to wrestle at least, though, you know. Like, I don't know if I want to see him fight, but I would definitely want to see him wrestle. Hopefully he likes it, you know, but I'm not going to push him like too hard on anything.
Right.
But right now it seems like he loves wrestling. Like, I wrestle with him, like, he's always bugging me to wrestle, you know. Like, some days I tell him no because I'm tired, but so he's the one always bugging me about it, like, because I got a wrestling mat back there, and so most of the time I'll take him back there and wrestle with him. But yeah, so hopefully he gets into that sport. That's a good sport, you know. So
you see videos on Instagram, you wrestling around. It's funny as fuck.
But yeah, he's crazy. Like, that kid's too much. That kid, I'll be walking around and he'll like net check me.
No respect.
No respect, dude.
That's valid.
You gotta watch it with them. Like, I'll be talking to him and then he'll just come and headbutt me out of nowhere. I'm like, oh, dude, watch out. You're gonna break somebody's nose.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like he's well on his way.
If he came to you one day and was like, "Hey, I'm doing this MMA thing. I'm talking to this guy. I'm gonna go." Like, would you be like, "Well, go your own path. Like, do your thing," or would you be like, "Ah, we got to sit down and talk"? How would you handle
it? I don't know. It would never be like that, you know. Like, where he's just gonna ask me out of nowhere. I don't think it's probably gonna be a gradual thing where he, like, if he does want to do it, it's probably gonna.
Hey, Porterville.
I know. That's why I'm like, dude, like, calm down. All right, so like. I'm not hurt because the reception's probably better right here by my front house. But yeah, if he does it, he'll probably like get into wrestling first, I'm sure, and then jiu-jitsu, and then he'll probably start striking or something. And then he'll probably ask him, like, "Hey, you know, I don't think he'll be out of nowhere, but I don't know. If he wants to do it, yeah. I mean, I'll probably part of me wants him to do it, but like most, like, and like the other part of me does not want him to do it. You know what I mean? I got two. You know, my ego probably wants him to fight and do what I achieve what I couldn't, but the dad part of me is like, no, you know, like, I know what that it's a dangerous sport, and I'd rather have him, you know, go to school and you know, get a job where he could make money the rest of his life, and not have to fight, you know, like, we're not gonna hurt his body, you know what I mean? Like, fighting you can only do so long, so the money's not always gonna be there, but like one of these other jobs, like if he's a I don't know, dentist or a doctor or something where he can make money the rest of his life, no matter how old he is. You know?
Yeah.
That's kind of a smarter thing to do. I don't know. But unless the money's up by then, unless like people are making crazy money, then it might be worth it. You know, they're making like, I mean, they are making more and more money each year. So maybe by the time he's older, everybody may be making NFL money, you know, then it's different. Different story.
Yeah, I feel like if you fight for the title in the UFC, like, I feel like you should not have to work ever again, in my personal opinion. I know I'm a fanboy, but
yeah, I didn't get lucky with that. I mean, that would have been nice.
Especially short notice. But, it's crazy.
I know, that would have been nice, but even, I mean, who's making that kind of money? Like, maybe Khabib or Conor, like, to make that money where you don't really have to work again? Maybe some of the top guys, you know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even if you make $5 million, you're still gonna have to watch that, or you're still probably gonna have to work. You know, like, can't retire off that. I mean, you gotta be. $5 million is not that much these days. I don't think you could go broke with that.
Especially with their trainers and then trying to support everybody.
Yeah, that's the thing. You gotta pay like trainers. You gotta pay your managers.
Taxes.
You gotta pay taxes. So that already, you already got like what, $2.5 million right there. Yeah.
Damn.
So buy a house, and you're gonna eat good. You have $2.5 million. Everything's organic. You're gonna go to the best restaurants. You're gonna stay at the best hotels, and everything just goes.
And then all your cousins you never knew you had call you.
Then you gotta, like, you know, you want to hook your friends up a little bit. I mean, you don't be an asshole, so you gotta pay for lunch for everyone. But
well, it's like no one wants to fight in New York, right? Because of the taxes.
Oh yeah, taxes in California too. I think Nevada is a good place to fight, and some of these.
Yeah.
Texas, I think, too.
Interesting. Never even thought about that.
Well, shit, Joe, I got to ask you a stupid question. But I've always wondered, has there ever been a point where you're like about to fight, about to do a tournament or something, and you get hit with, I got to fucking shit right now. I got to take a shit.
That is like the stupid night. That's every fucking match, like every fight. Like, I'd be shitting my brains out back there just because I don't want to shit. Like, I don't want to get knocked out or something and shit my pants on TV. That was always like in the back of my head, you know? Like, I don't know why this guy's like, I think I heard like somebody got knocked out and shit. I used to wear white fight shorts before. And then I heard that and I was like, hell no, I'm switching all my fight trunks to black or dark blue. Like, and I would just be in the back like, warming up and go take a shit. Warming up, make sure I get it all out. Like, so yeah, my stomach was always messed up too. I always have those, you know, bubble guts.
Yep.
Because of the weight cuts, you know, your stomach, my stomach, and then the nerves and everything. So, yeah, that always be making sure that you'd be walking out. You're like, fuck, I got like 10 minutes. Maybe take another shit just in case. Because I don't want to be like almost walking out. You know what I mean? So I always made sure my tank was empty before I walked out.
Thank you for answering.
Pissing too, you know. But, yeah, so it wasn't the stupid question that was for me. And that was always in the back of my mind.
I always think, like, what would I ask? Like, you hear the same questions a lot on these interviews. Like, what would I ask? Because, yeah, nerves and everything. And I know I experienced that. I went to job interview, anything. But it's like
those... One time, too, bro, I was in Iowa and I was during a wrestling match. And I must have had a crazy weight cut. And then you're rehydrating right before the tournament, you know? So, like, during this match, I had to take the big, like, oh, my God. I felt like this is going to come out, bro. And this guy, I was whipping this guy's ass. And I was trying to relax, like, I was just trying to chill so I don't have to wrestle no more, you know what I mean? Like, and he kept coming at me, and I'm like, dude, just relax already, like, like, stop. And I just kept taking him down, and finally, you know, after the match, kind of that, in the sport of wrestling, too, because of diets and everything, weight cutting, you're kind of worried about that, too, just shitting your pants out there.
Yes, and some of those videos have gone viral. Those dudes, like, having an MMA fight, amateur, and then that's what they're known for forever.
I didn't want to be that guy, so I switched to swim trunks, and I tried to get it all out, bro.
I think I'm going to come up with a company, create, like, some MMA diapers just in case, you know?
Everyone wearing a big ass diaper out there, big old diaper ass.
Yeah, right. But what was a one whether tournament fight that sticks out as one of your I know it's also probably could be a dumb question, one of your greatest moments that stick out to you?
Oh, as far as fighting, I don't know, there was just so many, like, cuz the circumstances of some fights, like when I won the Bellator tournament, you know, like that was a big one. That was a big one because I had gotten in trouble, like, in high school for fighting, you know? And so I did jail time, like, it was weird. I did, like, a year in jail. But I was doing it to, like, during my breaks, like, Christmas break, I'd come out of college, I'd go to jail.
Oh, really?
And, like, yeah, during the summer, you know, go to jail and then go back to school. And then finally, like I said, like, I just wanted to stop school and I just wanted to go finish my time. So I had 6 months left. So when I stopped going to Iowa Central, I came home and I did six months in jail. And then when I got out, I started fighting. And then I got signed to Bellator. So that was a big win for me because, like, the year before I was in jail and then the next year later I won a world title and had $175,000 in my bank account. Amazing. So that, you know what I mean? So that was like, that was crazy. Like, to think about that, like how far I went, like, it was weird. You know what I mean? Like, it was just weird. So that was a big win. And then the TJ thing was a big win too, because I was hella broke at the time, you know? And I fought in Bellator, got dropped. I lost two fights after I lost my Bellator title. I lost two fights. I came back on a big streak, you know, it took a couple of years, 6-fight win streak, built myself all the way up. It was hard to get into the UFC. They wouldn't sign me. Finally, they signed me. And then my first fight, I'm fighting for the title. And then, like I said, I was broke. I was about to stop fighting. I was about to get a job. And luckily I didn't. I was like really close to quitting. And then, you know, and then I fight for a title. I didn't win, but I got a bonus. Dana White sent me a $100,000 bonus.
Nice. Sweet.
So I'm hella broke 1 month, or what do you know, in the next, or one day, and the next month I got $120,000 in my account, you know, and I just fought for a world title and ranked top 15 in the world. So that was a big moment. Fighting in Mexico one time. I fought in Mexico one time. I had a couple of injuries, so I didn't train for a while, and I was just getting back into training, you know. And then I was heavy though. I was like 160, and they called me, hey, they want you for a short notice fight, and I was just out of my contract with the UFC, so they'll re-sign you, but you got to take this fight. It's next week, and I'm like, when? In 1 week? You know, I haven't even been training. Uh-huh. Like, you got to take this fight, or they might not re-sign you or whatever. So, and it's in Mexico City, you know. So I'm like, what? Mexico City? That's high elevation, like. So I'm scared of shit, you know. I'm talking to my, I mean, I was like, let me call you back. Talk to my girl. I'm scared. I'm like, man, I don't really want to take this fight. It's a week away. I haven't been training. Like, I'm not in that type of shape. Like, and it's high elevation. You know what I mean? So like, anyways, I say I'm like 10,000 left on my account, and like, that's not that much money if that's all you're living off of. And I got a mortgage and stuff, so I was like, all right, I'll take the fight. And then flew out there, cut down to 140, I'm like 60 something. So I lost like 20 something pounds in a week. And then go out there and pull off a crazy ass submission. And, you know, make 40,000, whatever it was, for my family. So that was a big win too, you know, like stuff like that. My first UFC was a crazy win. That was I think it was like 5 weeks short notice, or like 4 weeks something. And I just lost three fights. Like, so I had like a crazy, you know, a few of them, but yeah, TJ for sure, first belt, winning the belt for a tournament was a big one too.
You know what stands out to me in that conversation is it's like, it's not about the accolades, right? It's not about the medallion you can wear around your neck. It's about getting money to support your family, right? It's interesting.
That too, yeah, no, that for sure, like that too, but not just that. It's just, you know, once you have a family, that's what it's about, really. You know what I mean? But before that, like the Bellator thing, that was just the journey. Like, all the hard work finally paid off, you know, like all the ups and downs. Like, so that was before I had kids. So that's what it was about. Like, I remember, like, I was just coming from jail and getting through all that shit and working my way up into this tournament. And then I wasn't expected to win. You know, they had their favorites, and winning it and winning all this money. That was what it was about, like overcoming all these obstacles, overcoming your own fear, you know, because you part of your mind doesn't think you could do it, you know. So like overcoming that, so you're just excited about all that, and that's what the pure joy is about. Usually after a fight, you know, when you get that sigh of relief, like, oh, I did it, like I overcame myself and all the obstacles.
Fucking amazing!
It's about, man. That, you know. I think that's what it's about, because I remember when I won that Bellator tournament, they gave me like $100,000 check, like two checks. One was for 40,000, one was for 60. And I was so happy about just winning the title. And like I said, thinking about all that stuff, I got back to my hotel and I'm like, where the hell are my checks? Like, I lost my checks. You know, I had handed them to somebody, but I had to figure out like, who did I get my checks to? Like, I didn't even care about the money. You know, it was 100,000. Like, it was more about like overcoming all that and achieving those goals, you know. So that, and now once you have kids and it all changes, it's just everything is about, you know, family and coming home safe and you know, providing for them.
Absolutely. But they're gonna watch this podcast probably, you know, who knows, maybe a year down the road, 2-3 years down the road, and they're gonna see exactly that. Like, this meant a lot to my dad, you know, and the fact that he was able to accomplish this in a town where fucking nobody does that. Who does that from a city like that? That's fucking amazing, man. It's a pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, and it's like, Joe, do you realize, like, when you won that, I think you said 175, but I think it was promoted as 100,000 tournament for Bellator. Do you realize, like, everyone around the Central Valley, and I'm sure everywhere else, but in the Central Valley especially, we were all in these, like, crowded rooms around TVs just going nuts. Same thing when you fought Dillashaw. It's like, it's a trip. Like, and it's crazy to think that you were, like, dealing with jail and having 10 grand in your bank account, like, with Cash App and Venmo nowadays. It's like, man, I guarantee all these Central Valley people that pay at the time, $60, $70, whatever it was for UFC pay-per-view, Reddit, I'm sure they would definitely throw some money in your account. It's insane that like these fighters have to go through this, yet they're promoted so crazy across the nation, across the world.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's crazy. Like, you know, some of these fighters are struggling. Like, I know for sure. Like, especially the beginning ones. Yeah, it still sucks. The pay's not as good, you know. As, I mean, like, I was able to make some good money, you know. But some people aren't so lucky. You know what I mean? I mean, it sucks when you have to, like, when you're starting off and you're picking 10 and 10. Like, I think that's what the UFC fighters make of the first fight, 10 and 10. It's hard to survive off that. Like, if you lose, you get 10,000, then you gotta cut it with your manager, and then you gotta pay taxes on that too. So, like, yeah, some of these guys are struggling. But I mean, when you're first starting, like, really, you do it for free, you know. Like, if somebody is like, hey, you want to get in the UFC, you do it for free. But after a while, you start, especially when you start having kids, you're like, hey, I need to make money. Like, start thinking about financially, you know what I mean? But when I first got into it, I wasn't even concerned about the money at all. Like, I was just so in love with the sport, and like, I just wanted to be the best. Like, that was all. Money was good, but I just wanted to be the best. That was my focus, you know. I don't know. I don't know if that was the wrong way to think about it, you know. Because I mean, I think you should be thinking about money. You should think about stacking to be able to buy investing that money you make, you know. But I was just so focused on trying to be the best fighter, and I just, that's all I would. I was just obsessed with it, you know.
So if you were a manager today, and he had a young 18-year-old or something trying to do this, would you kind of maybe think a little differently about negotiating and money?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely that. And just, it's kind of hard to negotiate with, you know, the UFC or like some of these promoters. You don't really have a lot of power right now. Like, fighters don't really have that much power. Look at Jorge Masvidal sitting out. John Jones is sitting out. Like, you really don't have power. It's not the NFL. It's not the NBA. Like, fighters don't have a lot of power like that. You know, Dana White runs the show. So, as far as negotiating it, I mean, I don't know what they could do more. But as far as saving money and investing in like a house and trying to do stuff like that, spend money more wisely, or save it more wisely or invest it more wisely, like I would give them hints or tell them not to buy this or don't go out and buy that, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, as far as like negotiating for contracts, it's kind of hard.
Yeah. You kind of got your back against the wall.
Yeah.
Unless you're Conor McGregor or someone, but like George Masvidal, Conor, I can't believe it. I thought,
but even Conor's sitting out, dude.
Yeah, right now.
But
right?
I mean, that's not money, I guess. That's just he says he fights some intriguing, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of, when I saw John Jones and George Masvidal, I was like, oh, this is gonna happen. And then this week, I'm like, yeah, it looks like it's not gonna happen. It's just business as usual. But unfortunately, hopefully, it changes one day. I thought 2020 things would be different from like watching UFC all these years. I really did. I was like, you see all the Leslie Smith out of
Leslie Smith. Yeah.
Yeah. She was part of, I forget the organization. But she had Andrew Yang backing it up. I trained with her a little bit. She had Andrew Yang backing it up, and obviously he didn't win, but I was like, man, if this guy becomes president, this is going to be a real like union for the UFC. But unfortunately it didn't happen, and it just, man, they just keep getting away with this stuff. It's insane.
Yeah.
It's, people are putting their minds, their bodies, like, years are like, you know, like, I don't know. Do you wake up feeling older than you are?
Yeah, for sure. You know, all those years of wrestling and fighting. I'm 33. I feel like 43. But yeah. No, just my back. I got some, my back's tight, but not too bad. I try to stretch out every day. Like I said, I'm trying to eat better right now. So I'm not too bad, but I'm definitely not. I don't feel like I did when I was like 20 something. That's for sure. I got lucky. I didn't really get too many serious injuries. Like, the only thing I got was like a detached retina. That was pretty bad. So that was another thing. Like, I had to overcome to like, and you know, finally go back and win the title. Like, the detached retina thing was crazy too.
When'd you get that?
When I lost my title to Joe Warren,
That fight pissed me off because you killed him the first round, bro.
I know. So it was crazy because everybody thought I was like showboating, right? I kind of was, but not because I was just showboating, because I was walking through the cage. This guy was talking mad shit, like mad, like, hey, get up here, I'm gonna whip your ass, blah, blah, blah. And we're talking shit. Like, I'm walking through the cage because I'm always kind of respectful. I don't really try to get into all that. So we start talking shit. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna get in there, I'm gonna whip your ass, blah, blah, blah. And then we're sitting across from each other, standing across while they're doing the introduction. We're going at it. So then, like, I just snapped. So I just started whipping his ass and started talking shit to him, pointing at Nick Diaz, you know. But I mean, I was just kind of got in my head and I was whipping his ass. But yeah, I was just kind of overly emotional in that fight. And then he came back and won in the second round. Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah, Warren's no joke. Badass wrestler too, right? Like, started off as a wrestler. And
yeah, he was a world champion in Greco-Roman. And he was a good, he was a tough bastard. Like, he did good in Japan. He fought in, I forgot, was it Dream? He fought a Dream tournament. He had never fought before. He jumped into this Dream tournament. He went all the way to the finals, you know what I mean? So he had a big name coming into Bellator. And yeah, so that was a good fight. I mean, that was like an entertaining fight.
A lot of people say wrestling's the best base. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. Just because it's the toughest sport, the tournaments are so brutal. You got to be there all day. You got to make the weight. You got to wrestle after you make weight. Training is intense. It's just a good base, you know, and it translates. You could be a wrestler, striker, wrestler, grappler. It's good to dictate where the fight goes. So I would start there if, like, you know what I mean, if you're gonna start anywhere, I think wrestling definitely the best base.
Yeah, and every high school has usually got a wrestling program as opposed to finding a jiu-jitsu gym. But yeah,
dictating
where the fight goes, and then also the mental stuff, you know, the weight cuts and the tournaments, like that puts you on a whole nother
level. Yeah, it just prepares you mentally for the fight game, you know what I mean? Even fighting is not as hard as wrestling, you know? I think wrestling is tougher. Like, the wrestling mat sucks.
Yeah.
Like, the most tired I've ever been is from wrestling matches, I think.
Yeah,
for sure. I've been way tired, you know. Like, the Dillashaw fight, I was tired. I went almost the whole 25 minutes, but I remember being after wrestling matches, being in that hallway, just fucking lungs, like they got blood in them, your arms are just shot, you can barely hold them up. Woo! That shit sucks.
The UFC used to show, like, for a short period, they showed, like, the behind the scenes, like when the fighter would come back, and also it was weird because there's a lot of motion, especially
people. Oh, yeah.
I miss that shit because that's a lot of stuff fans don't even fucking think about, blood in the lungs. Like, no one thinks about that. I kind of wish they'd bring that back.
Yeah, they should, huh? They don't do that anymore?
I haven't seen it in a while. For years, I don't think I've seen it, because I used to love that shit. But sometimes it felt a little too personal, like a fighter's bawling his eyes out or something. It's like, man, get the camera out of the guy's face, you know? But seeing the cuts and the stitches and, like, how they react to each other afterwards, I thought it was the shit.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad they never did the whole video thing on me, because every time I had to get stitched, I had to hold my friend's hand. I hate needles. I don't like needles.
No?
So Joe, what's the future look like for you, man? I mean, the immediate future and maybe some long term. What are some plans?
I don't know, man. Right now, I'm just trying to lose some weight. I'm down to 160. So, like, in February, I was like 170, bro. So I'm down to 160. I'm trying to lose some weight, and then once this COVID thing is over and everything's safe, I want to start training again. You know, I have a lot of people hitting me up about training. Then definitely wanted to train, you know, up-and-coming fighters and people from around here, and maybe even coach some wrestling, maybe start a wrestling program. I don't know. But I might get back into doing some jiu-jitsu tournaments or something. I don't know. I'm just taking it day by day. Just right now, just kind of focus on my kids and trying to, like, lose some weight and get more healthy, and we'll see. But as far as the future, I don't know. It's up in the air.
So it is a possibility you'll fight again, MMA, or just who knows?
Maybe. I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's like 50-50. I mean, I don't know. You know, it could happen. I mean, if the door's open, you know, then I'll walk through them. But we'll see.
And let's be honest, probably 10, 20 years from now, you'll say the same thing, right? It's never over, right?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm crazy. I'm a fighter. So, like, some days I want to fight. And then, you know, but I don't know.
Other days you want to pull weeds.
Yeah, but I don't ever want to pull weeds. They get nasty.
Was there any fighters growing up and during your training and stuff, like before you, you know, you got it, you hit it big. Was there any fighters that you followed or like that were your favorite?
Yeah, Nick Diaz. I hit him up. Nick Diaz. One time I remember I was in high school and I was like, I think I sent him a message on MySpace. I was like, yo, I want to train with you. And it fucking never got back to me. But I trained with him, though. I ended up training with him. I trained with Nate a lot.
Okay.
And but I trained with Nick once. He tapped me, though. I was starstruck. I was scared.
Where was this at?
I trained with their old academy.
Lodi?
In Lodi.
Okay.
Yeah. Season I only got to train with Nick once. I trained with Nate a lot. I trained with Jake Shields a lot, though. But yeah, anyway, yeah. So Nick, for sure. I always enjoyed watching him. BJ Penn was like my favorite. Fucking, that was my favorite. Seeing him beat Matt Hughes when he went up from 55 to 170, I fucking went nuts.
That's where you kissed about. Him, right?
Yeah, where he kissed him and shit. That was hella gay, but it was cool. That was cool. And then he's like, was that the one? He licked the blood and he kissed them. Fucking Matt Hughes guys. Yeah, that was bad. I was going nuts. And then, because Matt Hughes was a guy, dude. He was crazy. He was like GSP back then. Like,
unbeatable.
No one could beat him. Yeah. And yeah, so I was stoked about that one. Just, yeah, them two. Sakuraba was cool to watch.
Yeah, Pride.
But my favorites were just, yeah, BJ and Nick probably. Who else was it? Yeah. I liked guys too, like Jeremy Horn. I like Jeremy Horn. Do you remember Jeremy Horn?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
So I like guys like that. Guys like Mayhem Miller when he first came into the UFC. He fought GSP too. That was a little scrap. That was years ago. But okay. Like guys that didn't look athletic, you know, that looked kind of normal and they were badass fighters. I like those kind of guys because they kind of relied on like smarts and you know, yeah, basically on smarts. They couldn't rely on their strength or like athleticism. Yeah, they had to be really good fighters. So those are like my type of guys.
Yeah.
Guys that look all ripped and, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Crazy like that.
Do you remember Cabbage? Yeah,
Cabbage from, he's from Hawaii, I think.
What's his name? I forget his name, but Cabbage. Because he kind of had some weight on him and he'd always be like, I like knocking out ripped dudes. I love this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I like guys, you know, that are not on steroids and shit, you know? I guess why not, shit.
Is it true everyone's on steroids?
I don't know, probably. I couldn't say probably. I don't know. Seems like it, but I don't think they're on steroids. I think they're on EPO.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're all blood doping. Like, you can see certain fighters, how they look, they're so fucking ripped. I don't know. I don't have no evidence or anything, you know? But I knew TJ was on some shit. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's pretty
obvious. I knew he was awesome. That was fucking obvious. I seen him at the weigh-ins. I was like, Jesus Christ, bro. It's like, this fucking juice.
I just watched the weigh-ins. I was like, damn, he's all jacked.
I still thought I was going to win, but I was like, fuck, that's kind of concerning when you're looking at that, you know?
But, yeah, it's cheating. But fight
to
fire, right?
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, so. But I don't know. I mean, besides him, I mean, I knew that motherfucker was on some shit for sure, but. Besides him, I don't know. You suspect some people just by the way they fight, by the way they move. But then you're just like, I don't know, maybe I'm just hating too. So, you know.
Do you ever, when you and John Jones were roommates and Kobe Covington was over there, did you guys talk about MMA future and stuff like that? Or was it all wrestling?
No, we did. I think, I mean, I can't remember specific. I mean, me and John more specifically when we first, you know, he was kind of, I don't know if I introduced him to it. I kind of got him on it. And then he kind of met these guys from Fort Dodge, the town. They started training with them, local fighters. And then, you know, so he was kind of getting – I think Kobe had fought maybe once too. So when Kobe came to the school next year, I think he showed us a video of he had fought once in Oregon. And so he was kind of already hip to it. I don't know if he had trained with Chow before or Team Quest before a little bit. But, yeah, so we kind of – talked about it. I think we all grappled each other too.
Oh yeah.
But I want to say I tapped them all out. But I'm pretty sure they never got me.
Yeah, that's good.
But I was kind of advanced already.
Do you stay in touch with them at all, or is it, you know, moved on?
Well, I think last time I seen Kobe fought Canada together. I got his dad on Facebook. I haven't really talked to him forever. John, once in a while, he'll hit me up on Instagram or like he'll call me randomly. But I don't really, I'm not like real close to them, you know, but they're friends.
Is it a trip that all three of you were, you know, who else was roommates? Gary Maynard and Rashad Evans, right? Were also roommates in college. And is it a trip to like be hanging out with these dudes and just going to class or training? And then years later, you're like, oh shit, we're all fucking UFC fighters.
Yeah, no, it's trippy. I mean, yeah, it's crazy. And John too. Like John's the best. I think John's like the best ever, you know?
For sure.
I mean, to me. Yeah, so that's crazy.
You guys have like some special crystals? What are you guys doing? What's in the water over there?
I need some. Nah, it must have been the weed, huh?
Do you smoke, Joe?
Nah, rarely, like once a year. Twice a year, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, that is
randomly too, by myself. Like.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, like I'll have some weed on me, and then I'll like I got weed there, but I won't smoke it probably till who knows next year. Like, yeah. I don't even know if it'd be good. Is it still good by then? Oh, yeah, it's in the jar.
Y'all dry.
So I never really did anything. Just like smoked once, like I said, once every couple of years. And then, like, now, like, that I stopped fighting, I've been drinking more, like, I'll drink, like, 2 glasses of wine, like, twice a week, maybe, you know?
Yeah.
Nice. I'll get a bottle and make it last, like, a couple of days. But
you are a family man.
So, yeah, like, I just try to, I don't like being addicted to anything, so I just kind of keep an eye on everything, you know? Like, I don't like, I don't want to be, like, dependent on anything, so I kind of watch it. The only thing I'm addicted to, like, really is, like, bad food, bro.
I'm trying
to, you know what I mean? So that's, like, my drug right there is food.
Dude, those midnight bowls of cereal fuck you up.
That's why I say I haven't eaten cereal since, what, fuck, March?
Nice. Yeah. Hey, you know what? You're talking about getting in shape, and Sacramento is hosting the Ironman competition next year. And I'm pretty sure the Diaz brothers are probably going to do it.
Are they?
Me and Jay
thought. I'll go watch. We'll go watch.
Yeah,
it should be. I mean, that's it.
We better not drink right now then if we're doing this.
Pretty historic for Sacramento. I mean, to host something like that is pretty impressive. I think they said they're going to bring in like $15 million.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. That's cool. That's cool.
The same. Well, Joe, thank you it's been about an hour. Thank you so much, man. It's been awesome. I don't know if you got anything to promote or anything coming up, but fuck everyone, fucking especially from the Central Valley, fucking shout out to Joe Soto, legend in the Valley. I think I don't know if you think this way, but a lot of us see you as the guy, the Central Valley guy, the guy. So
thanks, appreciate it.
Where can we find you, Joe?
What's that?
Where can people find you at, man?
Instagram. I got my Instagram, Joe Soto 135. I mean, I got my Facebook too, Joe One Bad Mofo Soto. I'm not really on Facebook that much. I just got my fighter page right now. I had a personal page, but so many arguments and people posting so much negative shit. So I was like, man, I deactivated my personal page. I did that a while back too, like last year for like 3 or 4 months. And then I put it back on. And then with all this shit that happened with the COVID and now with the whole, I don't know if there's that Black Lives, White Lives, All Lives Matter shit. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I know there's arguments on this. I was like, I deactivated before the COVID thing happened. And then, because I was just seeing so much, or right when the COVID thing happened, because I seen so many people didn't believe in it, so many people did. So I was like, you know what? People are fighting on that. I was like, let me delete my personal page because I don't want to see people's timelines. So I just got my fighter page. I post stuff randomly. But mainly, I'm always on Instagram.
Nice. So. Well, shit. What do you think about all this? Like, it's just crazy. Like this COVID shit and everything going on. Is it just like?
I don't know. I mean, well,
a hype.
What it's hard. Like, I don't know. I'm not smart enough to like. I don't feel like I'm smart enough or educated enough to like have really a strong opinion on it. You know what I mean? So I just do what they say, and what my wife says. But no, so I follow the guidelines because, like, okay, it might not be real. Maybe most likely it's probably, like the bad flu, right? I don't know. But I have kids, and if I want to be – I got to think about them. So if wearing a mask maybe is going to help, you know, not get my kids sick. You know, he has asthma, like I said. And last January he got really sick where they had to put him on a breathing machine and everything. Oh. And that was hard to see, you know. So if I could prevent that, when, by wearing a mask or by not gathering around people, then why not? You know what I mean? Like,
fuck yeah.
You know, so I, that's how I look at it. I'll just take precautions. Why not? It's better safe than sorry. I see other arguments too. Yeah. Like people, like, I have a freedom to do this. I should be able to do that. But I'm just thinking about my kids as far as that. Yeah, so that's kind of how I think about the COVID thing. I gotta take it kind of real, I guess, because I got children, so I'm thinking about them. You know, like if I didn't have kids, it'd be different. You know, yeah. I wouldn't care.
Yeah.
But I got kids, and then my mother-in-law, she's older, so she's like in her late 70s, and she comes over a lot. You know, so I got to make sure I'm not bringing anything home to my kids or my mother-in-law. So that's how I kind of look at it. That's why I haven't been rolling either. Actually, I wasn't rolling before because I was kind of banged up a little bit. And, you know, and then with this whole COVID thing, I haven't been rolling since. So, I want to start.
Were you in Porterville when the whole like water crisis thing happened? Were you affected by that at all? Because I know Porterville got hit.
Yeah, but it didn't affect me. I had city water. It was more like on the east side of town where they're not. I don't know if they're connected to the city water or what. I don't think they're connected to city water over there. Cause I think it's county, maybe county. On the east side of Porterville. So I think it hit them pretty bad. I think they were showering at the high schools and crazy. Had to get water delivered. So, yeah. Yeah. And my grass is kind of dry right now because I go by the – I go in the water twice a week. I think.
Yeah, so. Same here. My grass is dead.
Sound like a great Samaritan, Joe.
I try to try to follow the rules. I don't want to go back to jail.
Fuck yeah.
Joe, what's your favorite submission? Is it a guillotine?
I mean, that's probably what I'm. That's probably one of my go-to. The guillotine is probably one of my go-tos, right? North-south choke, one of my go-tos. My favorite though is a go-go. That's just the gnarliest one, but yeah, north-south and the guillotines are good.
Go-go plata, okay. And then, if anyone's like younger and like wanted to get into mixed martial arts in the Central Valley, where would you direct them to?
Where would I tell them to go train?
Yeah.
Or I don't know. Well, Elite's not doing MMA anymore, huh? Elite team's just doing jiu-jitsu now, I think.
Oh, really?
I don't think they got it. Because I would say they had, like, the best, like, all-around little thing there. But I think Trifecta has pretty good. Trifecta's Marion Renault. She's a UFC fighter.
Oh, and Visalia, right?
Yeah. So she has a good place. But I would just say find an MMA gym, a local MMA gym. And that's kind of how you get started. Time you want to fight, you're interested in competing, and they'll kind of get you started in the process. Usually, you know, they want you to train for a year or two, maybe, and then they'll get you the fights. But just find a local MMA gym and tell them what you're interested in. You're interested in fighting, and they usually know promoters or managers, and they'll get you started. But yeah, so I wouldn't say one specific school. It's wherever you have one in your town. But Visalia has some pretty good schools. Porterville, we have Extreme Grappling and MMA. Paul Strada runs that with Jim and Tina. So that was my old place.
Okay.
They're running that. So if you're in Porterville, Extreme Grappling and MMA. If you're in Visalia, Trifecta, the martial arts school to go to, I think. So.
Did you ever train at the box back in the day?
Yeah, I did. I went there one or two times, yeah.
Tom Owens,
I was
right?
One of the first ones. So, yeah, Tom Owens.
Yeah.
I trained with Tom Owens, yeah.
Yeah, that place was cool. A trip. I think another gym was that area. And I went in, and it was like a new gym. I forget what it's called, but it was crazy. They're in the old box. And I was like, oh, I remember coming here as a kid. But it was like.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy, huh?
Well, like his mom would come hit me up for money. Hey, I think you need to pay.
Yeah.
It was like crazy.
That's funny. Tom's a nice guy. That's probably why he probably couldn't.
Yeah.
He's probably like, had his mom in there.
Yeah, Tom was cool. Great. He was always a guy that was on the radar too with jiu-jitsu in the valley, you know.
Yeah. So.
Rampage, I've been there. Rampage Gym? Was there a Rampage Gym in Porterville?
Yeah, there was. There was a Rampage Gym too. That's crazy.
That's nuts.
But yeah, you know all these little, yeah, you know your Valley MMA thing.
I'm a gym whore. I'm a white belt. It's crazy. I should be like a double black belt, but I'm a loser like that. But I just love going to gyms, dude.
Nah, that's cool. That's cool, man.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's probably better than getting into that fight. You don't want to get punched in the face.
No, I don't. No,
who wants to get punched? You gotta be. You probably have more brains. You know what I mean? You're not as crazy as this. So.
Yeah, I just I don't think I was as disciplined. You know, I think I chose a college route. But I think if you're gonna do MMA, you really gotta fucking do it.
Yeah, but you gotta have some screws loose, by it. I think we all do.
Now, when you talk to all these guys, are they all got a couple screws loose, or they're like egomaniacs? Like, what's, are they just driven, awesome people? What's the thing?
It's different. It just runs. Frankie Edgar, I met him, fucking nicest guy ever. Like, doesn't even, you would never know that guy was a UFC champion or like, he's probably gonna be, is he a Hall of Famer? He's gonna be a Hall of Famer.
For sure.
Like, just, you know what I mean? Don't walk around with no ego, no ego at all. Nate Diaz, nicest fucking guy ever. If you, you know, I'm sure, I don't know if you met Nate, but nicest guy too. But then you have other guys that you just know, they know they're famous. They walk around like it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, with the, like, you're just like, fuck, your shit don't stink, huh? And then, but then, yeah, and then you have other guys that are cool, but they're just crazy. They're, you know what I mean? Like, just fucking nuts.
Hey, is that your kids through the blinds? Hey.
Sup, dudes?
What's up?
I'm talking.
Look at them.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's just everybody's different, you know? So you see a lot of different personalities. I guess that's just regular life, you know?
Is it a trip to see, like Kobe back then to now? And, like, well, he's doing his money thing. But is it like a, is it kind of like a change?
No, I think, I mean, it's kind of an act a little bit, you know, he kind of magnified what he probably was. I don't know. Yeah. So for money though, for himself, you know, to make money for himself and, you know, when he has a family, he's going to have some money in his bank account. So I can't knock him for doing, you know, going the route he did. Yeah, not the same route I would choose, but I mean that I thought about that too, you know, when I first started kind of fighting, like if I became like a heel, you know, like you can become big, you can make money, you know, you're gonna have people that love you and people that hate you. That's a good way to make money. It just wasn't my thing. I just wanted to be the best fighter, known as the best fighter. I want to be like a Fedor, dude.
Yeah,
Fedor didn't say anything. You just know for his fighting. You, that's why he was so popular, but. However you could get it, you know, like you can't knock anybody. Even Dillashaw's punk ass.
Yeah.
I mean, he did what he did. I mean, he cheated, but at the end of the day, he's making money for his family. It was wrong. But fuck, I mean, you got to do what you got to do, I guess, right? I mean, some people sell drugs on the street for money to feed their family. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to judge people. I'm not perfect either, so.
Yeah.
Well,
and I don't think Kobe, like as a nobody here talking, I don't think Kobe is like hiding that what he's doing is kind of a show.
Yeah.
If you watch any of his stuff, you know, like he's not trying to cover it up. Like he knows what he's doing. And the only thing I kind of feel bad about is Kobe's a badass fighter, especially, you know, his last few fights. Like he's fucking a good fighter. And sometimes I wonder like if the show will take over that.
Nah, he is. I think maybe. But I mean, I don't know if that's a bad thing, you know, like. His personality, I think he's making money for him. So, but he is, like I said, it could be overshadowing the fact that he's really a good fighter. Because most people that talk a lot aren't that great of fighters, right? Like, and they hype themselves up, except for Conor. But Kobe is he's a dog, bro. And that guy has a gas tank on him, and he won't quit. So either with John Jones, like those guys won't quit. Like, you know, what I mean, I was in the wrestling room with those guys, and coming from that school, Iowa Central, like coming from that wrestling team, like they. We've been through some brutal ass practices like for years, you know, like where you're not going to make us quit. You got to knock us out, tap us out or something, put us to sleep, you know, but yeah. So, cause like none of those guys won't quit.
Yeah. I see like those videos of George Masvidal and Kobe Covington. I think they're roommates in Florida and then like just wrestling late at night and just going forever. And it's fucking insane.
That's what we used to do at Iowa Central. We used to go on these, that was like my favorite thing to do. My coach would be like, hey, what do you want to do today? And I would tell him, short go. Let's do this. Do a short go. And he'd be like, all right, everybody, we're going to do a short go. And then we'd fucking wrestle for like an hour. That's like my favorite. I don't like time like anything. Like, I don't like 5-minute rounds. Like, probably right now I would, though, because I'm out of shape. But usually now, I could probably go 20 minutes right now straight. But I like going like 20, at least 20 minutes, bro. It takes me like 10 minutes to get warmed up. Like for jiu-jitsu or wrestling or anything, like I like, I don't like rounds. Like I don't like
that. Yeah, that's gangster.
I don't like rounds. Like it takes me a while to like warm up. Actually, it'll take me like at least 5 or 10 minutes to actually get like warmed up and loose. You know?
Is that from watching all those Pride DVDs?
Yeah, those were sick. Huh? Like was it? Like a 10-minute first round or 5-minute? Was it a 5-minute first round then 10-minute or?
I think it was a 10-minute first round.
I think it was 10 and 5.
Yeah, they would always change it up. But yeah, I think it was 10 first.
10-minute first round and then 5-minute. You guys still there? 5-minute the second round. That was cool. I think they should, like, I was thinking about that. That'd be cool to start an organization where there was no rounds. Like, it's just one 15-minute go.
Do you remember?
Then you really figure out, like, who's the best fighter, you know? Like, it's better. It's more real.
Well, one of the early UFC fights, it was Royce Gracie, Ken Shamrock that went, like, fuck, I don't know how long it went. But it was at a certain point watching, you're like, all right, I don't know what to do. Do I keep watching or fast forward?
The Gracies love that. They did that a lot in Japan. They would go to those unlimited time periods. They would fight for a long ass time. That's cool, though. That's crazy. I would be interested. I guess it would get boring after a while. Like, damn, I got to take a piss.
Well, Joe, we've been going a long time. I could talk to you forever. So if you got to go, let us know. But I got a few more. I always got questions.
I got to go. Okay, get back cool, in there. Like, I think I have my kids taking over the house right now.
Cool. Well, hey, Joe.
But hey, if you guys want to do this again, let me know.
For sure, yeah, man. And we're actually, I know the COVID things, when it calms down, we'll definitely be hitting you up. We want to do like some Central Valley documentaries. We're doing documentaries on the side too as well. All this camp, but COVID just fucking everything up.
Yep. Yeah, so, I know. Sucks.
But yeah, man, you're a big name in the Valley. We'll definitely hit you up. Thank you so much, Joe. Appreciate it, man. Seriously.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Hey, thanks.
All right. See
you. Nice talking to you guys.
Awesome podcast, man. What do you think? Good. That was great. Joe Soto, man. Great. Central Valley legend. He needs his face painted on like every Central Valley town's wall.
He does, dude.
Like, high schools. He's a motor. Man, I don't know.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So anyways, thanks for watching Water Tower Podcast. We had Joe Soto, man. Like, if you know MMA, you know Joe. If you know jiu-jitsu, you know Joe. If you're from the Central Valley, you should know Joe. And I know a lot of people do. And I believe Joe Soto should have a fucking plaque in Porterville, should have his fucking wall, or fucking every high school should have his painting on the wall or neighborhoods, because he's an inspiration. Jail to UFC title shot, dude.
And you know what? I'm not into fighting. So, you know, it's not a big name for me, but you know, from talking to him and learning about him, it's amazing, man, that someone from a place like that can create this big name. And, you know, you heard it from from his mouth is, you know, he was going through some rough times and fighting saved him, man.
A lot of fans don't see that. Man, I could ask him, I could talk to him for hours just about like the fans and how they've changed over the years and especially Pride fans. But yeah, man, just great guy, great interview, and I'm glad we did it. Thank you for watching. Anything else, Nick?
That's it. Subscribe, hit that notification button, and we'll like you even more.
All right, watertowerpodcast.com. Too many beers. All right, buddies. Everyone, thank you for watching, and we're out.
We'll see you next week. Peace.